الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, in continuation of the tafsir of Surah An-Nisa by Sheikh Abdul Rahman Nasir Al-Sa'di عليه رحمة الله, we had actually discussed part of ayah number 95, and today inshallah we will continue along with 96 and whatever else Allah Azza wa Jal facilitates. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, and of course the context is that of the mujahideen, those who strive and struggle in the path of Allah with their wealth and with their lives, and they get engaged in warfare, fi sabilillah. The Shaykh said, ثم صرح تعالى بتفضيل المجاهدين على القاعدين بالدرجة أي الرفعة. Then Allah Azza wa Jal explicitly stated how He favored the mujahideen over those who remained behind with the daraja. Daraja, the Shaykh said, meaning rif'a. Rif'a is like the lofty status which one has. Rif'a, from rafa', yartafi', something which ascends, something which goes high. Transcendence, in other words. وهذا تفضيل على وجه الإجمال. Now this is a general form of preference or favoritism or favoring. ثم صرح بذلك على وجه التفصيل. Then Allah detailed that. First He mentioned generally that the mujahideen are superior to those who remain behind. They have a loftier status with Allah, generally speaking. Then Allah mentioned the details.
ووعدهم بالمغفرة الصادرة من ربهم وبالرحمة التي والرحمة التي تشمل تشتمل عفوا على حصول كل خير واندفاع كل شر كلي على حصول كل خير واندفاع كل شر.
Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He spoke of the promise He has His promise of forgiving them, the forgiveness which comes from your Lord, from their Lord, والرحمه, and the mercy التي تشتمل على حصول كل خير واندفاع كل شر, which includes this mercy from Allah, it includes that they should acquire every form of good and that every form of evil will be kept away from them. That's the ultimate sense of the rahmah, that Allah facilitates for them all kinds of goodness and He keeps away from them all kinds of evil. And from the dua of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, أسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمت منه وما لم أعلم. وأعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمت منه وما لم أعلم. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to ask Allah of all the goodness, the one that is before him and the one that is to come, that which he knows of and that which he knows of it and that which he does not know. And he would seek refuge from evil in the same manner عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now, والدرجات التي فصلها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالحديث الثابت عنه في الصحيحين. Now, and the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, in which that variation in the degree or the status was mentioned, the Shaykh said it's in the Sahihain, but the brother, the commentator, if we may call him that, not even that, the one who actually revised the book, he said he could not find a hadith in Muslim, but he found it in Bukhari. So it's a Sahih hadith, irrespective whether it is in the Sahihain or in the Sahih.
إن في الجنة مئة درجة ما بين كل درجتين كما بين السماء والأرض أعدها الله للمجاهدين في سبيله.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in Jannah there are 100 levels or degrees or positions. Between each two is like the distance between the heavens and the earth. Between each two is like the distance between the heavens and the earth. Allah has prepared it for those who fight and struggle and strive in His cause. That's a lot.
وهذا الثواب الذي رتبه الله على الجهاد نظير الذي في سورة الصف في قوله.
This reward which Allah Azza wa Jal associated with jihad reminds us of another ayah in the Surah al-Saff, where Allah said,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ومساكن طيبة في جنات عدن ذلك الفوز العظيم. Allah said, O you who have believed, shall I not direct you towards a trade, a business, which will protect you from a severe punishment? Believe in Allah and His Messenger, and fight in the cause of Allah with your wealth and with yourselves. That is better for you if you only knew. He will forgive you your sins, and He will admit you into paradise under which rivers flow, and masakina tayyiba, and then homes, goodly homes. Goodly homes fi jannati adn, in the eternal gardens of paradise. Dhalika al-fawzul azim, that is the great success. That is a great victory, in fact. Ila akhir surah, until the end of the surah. Can you just tell the brother to stop whatever he's doing? Barakallahu feek. The Shaykh said, وَتَأَمَّلْ حُسْنَ هَذَا الْإِنْتِقَالِ مِنْ حَالَةٍ إِلَىٰ أَعْلَى مِنْهَا. Now reflect on this excellence in the shift. The shift in the discussion from one particular state to another. فَإِنَّهُ نَفَى التَّسْوِيَ أَوَّلًا بَيْنَ الْمُجَاهِدِ وَغَيْرِهِ. First, Jazakallah khair. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He denied the existence of equivalence between the mujahid and the one who doesn't. First, Allah stated that they're not equal. The first thing we need to know, look at the manner in which the information was presented. First, Allah said they're not equal. Those who go in jihad and those who remain behind. ثم صرح بتفصيل المجاهد على القاعد درجة. Then Allah spoke how the mujahid is a degree above the one who does not go. ثم انتقل إلى تفضيله بالمغفرة والرحمة والدرجات. Then Allah went on to speak how He is favored in terms of attaining Allah's mercy, His forgiveness, and other degrees in Jannah. وهذا الانتقال من حالة إلى أعلى منها عند التفضيل والمدح أو النزول من حالة إلى ما دونها عند القدح والذم أحسن لفظا وأوقع في النفس. This kind of speech, this kind of approach, this linguistic approach, where when you want to speak of someone going from one state to another in the terms of favoritism and in terms of praising, or when you want to go from one state to another in terms of belittlement or blameworthiness, then this is better, this is the best way to do so. And it has an effect on the people, on the listeners. يعني Allah could have mentioned that first, those who strive in His cause will attain His forgiveness and mercy. Then He went on to say that they're not equal with those who don't go out for jihad. Then He could have mentioned thirdly, that they have a daraja, they're higher in daraja. But it wouldn't be as effective as that sequence. Yani, I don't know if I can give you an equivalent example. Musabi, put your feet down. If I can give you an equivalent example. For example, the teacher says, first, the students who passed and those who failed are not equal in my sight. Second, he goes on to say, those who passed will be eligible to go on that journey, that picnic, which the school is having. Then thirdly, he says, and now, after they're allowed to go on the journey, after they're allowed to go on a journey, then they will be given gifts and money, and the school will give them blah, blah, blah. Now you have to take into consideration both audiences. The ones who passed, how would they feel? It's like, it's building up. First, we're not like the other ones, yeah. Then we're going to go on a journey, yeah. And then we're going to be given money, yeah. And then the other ones, first they're made unequal. Then it gets worse for them, so they feel even worse. Then Allah praises the other ones more, then they feel even worse. So for the one who's blameworthy, it's just kind of digging a hole for him. First, you know, it's sad news, then it's worse news, then it's the worst news. Whereas those who have good, it keeps getting better for them. So you can imagine now, in this manner, when you present the information like that, how it will affect the listeners. As opposed to doing it the other way around, the reverse way. It wouldn't be as effective to the listeners. They would like that kind of structure in the way it's built. Is that clear? Amazing, amazing, subhanAllah. نعم وكذلك إذا فضل تعالى شيئا على شيء وكل منهما له فضل احترز بذكر الفضل الجامع للأمرين. Similarly, when Allah Azza wa Jal wants to favor one thing over the other, however both of them are virtuous, Allah Azza wa Jal will make it a point to mention the common feature between them. The common virtue. Yani, if you want to make it, if I want to say the student is better than that one, and however both of them are good, I would say these are the best two students in the class, but Fulan got a higher grade. If I didn't present it in this manner, if I said he got a better grade than he did, maybe he failed. Or maybe he's among the worst in the class. So I simply favored one over the other. If I say these are the best two students, however, one got a higher grade, meaning I praised both of them, I mentioned the common quality between them, then I mentioned the favoritism towards one over the other because of such and such. You see all this? Now, all this is balagha, this is eloquence, this is the eloquence of the Quran. And this is why it is impossible that the Prophet ﷺ could have authored this book on his own. Because these are technical things, very technical things that someone would not be able to put together in such perfection over such a long period of time while he's illiterate. Didn't go out, didn't learn from anyone, didn't attend Harvard, nothing. They're living in the desert. And just yesterday we went to the desert. Yesterday, we went to the desert to see what the Bedouin life is like. And it's tough stuff, man. It's really tough. Camels and sheep, and it stinks. It stinks, man. Camels, but they don't have a toilet. Whatever they are, they handle business. And I mean, and it's just, you know, the bathroom is a tent. You know, to make wudu is an issue. You know, because there's sand, and when someone's pouring water, the water will hit the sand, and that becomes mud, and then the mud will splash your clothes. So it's not an easy life. So you can, and now this is civilized. They still have a pickup truck, you know, that comes by and takes a camel or two. How would it be back then? How would it be back then? Where would you get this information from? It's impossible. SubhanAllah, ajeeb. Ala kulli hal, you should go out sometime. Go out to the desert. And take your children on the way to Jazan. Before you get to Mecca, I think you take the Ta'if Jazan road, and right on the left hand side, they have little tents there, and you know, Bedouins and what have you. You go there and spend some time with the kids, let them see nature, let them, you know, get used to the rough life a little bit, because we're just too, you know, we're too spoiled, and we got it too easy. And so, you know, we get to see how people really are able to endure, human beings are able to endure way more than we think. And so maybe we can calm down a little bit and be more humble. نعم. لئلا يتوهم أحد ذم المفضل عليه. So Allah, whenever He wants to favor one thing over the other, He makes it a point to mention the benefit or the virtue of both, in order for no one to think that the other one, the one who's being favored over, is being belittled. He's being put down. كما قال هنا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى. After Allah spoke about how these are a degree better and whatever, then Allah said at the end, but both Allah has promised the good reward. Allah has promised both of them goodness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or excellence. وكما قال في الآيات المذكورة في الصف في قوله وبشر المؤمنين. And in Surah Al-Saff, He said وبشر المؤمنين, and give glad tidings to the believers, all of them. وكما قال في قوله تعالى لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. And they're not equal, those who spent before the conquest and those who fought. أي ممن لم يكن كذلك, meaning from those who were not in the same condition. ثم قال وكلا وعد الله الحسنى. Again Allah said, and both Allah promised excellence. So Allah always, subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants to favor one thing over the other, but both are virtuous, He makes it a point to mention the virtue of both before one is favored, so that no one will look at the other one and say, oh, he's not good. You see? وكما قال تعالى ففهمناها سليمان. سبحان الله, عجيب يا أخوان, والله عجيب. ففهمناها سليمان وكلا أتينا حكما وعلما. Again, Allah said, and we made Sulaiman understand it when the issue was presented to him, and both Dawood and Sulaiman alayhim salatu salam were trying to come up with a ruling in regards to this issue. I believe it's the lady who claimed that that baby is hers, or something along these lines, if my memory serves me well. The bottom line is, Allah said, we made Sulaiman understand it. Fahim. We gave Sulaiman the fahim. Now, when Dawood and Sulaiman, both are prophets of Allah, both are kings. And when you say we made Sulaiman understand, what does that automatically make you feel? That Sulaiman is better than Dawood, that he understood, and you may think Dawood doesn't understand. Sahih? So automatically Allah says, and وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. However, both we gave the ability to judge and knowledge. Just so that no one's mind will shift towards belittling a prophet of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal put the thing in the right perspective. Put things in the right perspective? No. Both Allah gave ability to judge, and they gave him knowledge. But in this particular manner, in this particular situation, Allah made Sulaiman understand it. Whereas in others, it could have been Dawood, which understood Dawood. Sulaiman did not understand alayhi salatu salam. So it's amazing how, you know, how particular this is, and how consistent you will find it. Every time. And Allah says, وَكُلًّا. Subhanallah al-Azim. Ajeeb. فَيَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ بَحَثَ فِي التَّفْضِيلِ Allahu Akbar. بَيْنَ الْأَشْخَاصِ وَالطَّوَائِفُ وَالْأَعْمَالِ أَنْ يَتَفَطَّنْ لِهَذِهِ النُّكْتَةِ. So whoever then engages in mentioning the virtues of people over others, or the virtues of some groups over others, or some deeds over others, he should be mindful of this little tiny point here. وكذلك لو تكلم في ذم الأشخاص والمقالات. Similarly, if he's going to speak in criticizing particular individuals or statements, ذكر ما تجتمع فيه عند التفضيل بعضها على بعض, that it must be mentioned at that time that which makes it favorite, that which makes it more virtuous over the other. لئلا يتوهم أن المفضلة قد حصل له الكمال. يعني, when you want to say that this group is better than that one, also be fair so that no one will think that the one you're favoring has reached perfection. Has reached perfection. كما إذا قيل النصارى خير من المجوس. Like if you say the Christians are better than the Magians. The Christians are better than the fire worshippers. What may come to mind that the Christians are good. Why? Because you use which adjective? Better. And you have good, better, best. Sahih? So once you say better, then you automatically, indirectly gave him the quality of goodness. But are they good? Are the Christians good? Are the Christians good? Why not? Why not? Don't be scared. Don't be shy. Why are they not? What's their problem? What do the Christians, what is it that they believe which we don't agree with? How about you over there? What is the problem with the Christians? They believe in Prophet Jesus? That's not a problem, that's good. Do they believe something else that is not good? Huh? No, it's okay, man, say it again. They believe he's God. Good. Is it good that they believe he's God? No, but that's a good answer. That's a good answer. Well, they don't know what they believe. They believe he's God and the Son of God and the one and three with God. They don't even know what they believe actually is. And if you listen to these people debating with the Muslims, you just say at the end, I mean, you just go like this. Is this guy serious, man? This doesn't make any sense. It does not make any sense. Ala kul hal, obviously the Christians are no bueno. They're no good. They're better than others, but they're no good. That's why we were allowed to marry their women, provided that they're chaste, and to eat from their animals, sacrificial animals, or the animals, the slaughtered animals provided that day are slaughtered Islamically. In the Nas of the Quran. In Ma'idah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah Azza wa Jal made this halal. So that's why the Jews and the Christians, being people of the book, are better than the Magians, who are fire worshippers, don't have any relations with prophets. Better than the Hindus, obviously, who worship every other animal. And better than the Buddhists, and so on and so forth. But that doesn't make them good. All of them still will be in the hellfire. But the Jews and the Christians will be in a level above the others. As the ulama say, that the Jahannam will have different levels. The worst would be the munafiqeen. Innal munafiqeen fi ad-dark al-asfali min an-nar. They will be in the lowest level of the fire, the hypocrites among the Muslims. And then above them will be the different people depending on their level of kufr and disbelief. So the Shaykh said, if one says an-nasara khayrun min al-majus, if you're writing an essay, writing an article, writing a book, writing your whatever the thesis on masters, whatever you're doing, and you want to say that the Christians are better than the Magians, make sure you say wa kullu minhuma kafir, and each one of them is a disbeliever. The Christians are better than the Magians, and they're all disbelievers. Each group is a group of disbelievers. Just so that no one will understand from you that you are saying that they're actually good. وَالْقَتْلُ أَشْنَعْ مِنَ الزِّنَى. And you can say that killing, murder, is more abhorrent than fornication or adultery. وَكُلٌّ مِنْهُمَا مَعْصِيَةٌ كَبِيرَةٌ. However, each one of them is a major sin. You see how that is? Very important point to pay attention to. حرمها الله ورسوله وزجر عنها. Allah and His Messenger forbade it, and they told the people to keep away from them. They used strong language so that they are avoided. ولما وعد المجاهدين بالمغفرة والرحمة الصادرين عن اسميه الكريمين الغفور الرحيم ختم هذه الآية بهما. Now, because Allah promised the mujahideen maghfira and rahma, which are actually extracts of Allah's noble names, the Ghafoor, the all-forgiving, and the off-forgiving, wal-Rahim, the most merciful, Allah Azza wa Jalla concluded the ayah with them. That's why you will find always and forever, there's a relationship between the names of Allah which come at the end of the ayah and the ayah itself. And the ayah itself, always the ayat which end وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ, that these attributes are related to what preceded it. That's why I believe it was Surah An-Nur. They say that one very eloquent Arab who wasn't a Muslim, he heard someone recite the ayah. Their leader, he was reciting the ayah, and the man, according to his fitrah, he corrected him that the ayah couldn't be in this manner. Let me just find it for you because it's interesting. Surah An-Nur is before Mu'minin, after Mu'minin. Yeah, in the beginning. See. No, not this surah. What surah mentions of cutting the hands of the thieves?
In surah Ma'idah.
Ma'idah?
In Ma'idah, I think in verse
30. Wait a second. Is it surah Al-Ma'idah? Why do I think it's another surah? Are you sure, Yaqi? على كل حال, the ayah mentions and wasariq wasariqatu, the thief, the male and the female, then cut off their hands, and so on and so forth. Then Allah said, at the end of the one leading the salah or the one reciting, he said at the end of the ayah, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Oh, inna Allah ghafoorun rahim. And so the guy said, how is the ayah speaking about cutting the hand of a thief? And Allah showing that, you know, the severity of the punishment, then how can the ayah end with that? So that did not make sense to him. And actually the ayah ended with, inna Allah azizun hakeem. Allah is full of might, full of wisdom. And which is the appropriate ending. Because the ayah speaking about the wisdom of Allah and the ruling which He legislated, and the might of Allah and what He imposes on His slaves, it doesn't make sense that the ayah will end with Ghafoor and Rahim. So that Arab, from his understanding, without even knowing the Quran, he realized that this could not be an appropriate ending. And he corrected him. And so they brought him forth and they interviewed him. It's a very interesting story which you read in the books of history of Islam. I don't recall the whole incident, but it's a very nice one. But
I think in verse 21, I guess.
Surah Al-Ma'idah? If it's not there, you will have to make up these minutes for the brother somehow. 21?
31.
31? Sorry guys, but it's interesting to know this information. Mafi, yani, be patient inshallah. No, habibi. ما في مشكلة. على كل حال, the issue is clear and evident. So then you see that the ayat end in an appropriate manner, and this one ended with wa kana Allahu ghafuran rahima. Okay, now we're coming to the real hot stuff. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يهتدون سبيلا فأولئك عسى الله أن يعفو عنهم وكان الله عفوا غفورا. Indeed, those whom the angels take in death while wronging themselves, the angels will say to them, in what condition were you? They will say, we were oppressed in the land. The angels will say, was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to immigrate therein? For those, their refuge is hell, and evil it is as a destination. Except for the oppressed among men, women, and children who cannot devise a plan, nor are they directed to a way. For those, it is expected that Allah will pardon them, and Allah is ever pardoning and forgiving. Now, this is very important for those who have have family members or themselves have entertained the idea of Mus'ab, have entertained the idea of living abroad among the kuffar. Okay? Because this is a very, very, very dangerous reality, and it results in a lot of problems in the light of a Muslim, in the life of a Muslim. Now we'll see what the Sheikh says, then we will comment according to some personal experiences. هذا الوعيد الشديد لمن ترك الهجرة مع قدرته عليها حتى مات. This severe threat is in regards to the one who does not migrate while he's able to do so until he has died. Until he dies. يعني he dies without having migrated while having the ability to do so. فإن الملائكة الذين يقبضون روحه يوبخونه بهذا التوبيخ العظيم. The angels which will claim his soul will reprimand him with this great reprimand. ويقولون لهم, and they will say to them, فيما كنتم, أي على أي حال كنتم, what was your affair, what condition were you in, وبأي شيء تميزتم عن المشركين, with what did you make yourself distinguished from the disbelievers, with what did you distinguish yourself from the kuffar. If you look like them and you act like them and you live like them and you believe like them, then you like them. You just like them. Which happens to many Muslims, by the way. They're fascinated with these kafara. And on all fronts. And so they will abandon the virtuous sunnah and guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, and imitate the biggest losers humankind has ever known. Sports figures and artists. If you want to, I mean, when you speak of a doctor, you speak of a, I mean, he still did something, you know what I'm saying? He may be a kafir and a loser, but at least he offered something to the world. He had something good which he had done. And so, or someone who's an author, they may have authored some books, intellectual books and things of the sort. But the artists and the players, these guys have nothing to offer. Nothing to offer except corruption. The most corrupt you can think of. Especially artists is known. But sports players, man. These people are known for being fornicators. You know, the soccer team goes from one country to another on a tour. And they will go there and sleep with all the women they can find in other countries. So while they tour the world, they sleep also with the women in these countries respectively. This is known among them. Because they got money. They got money and they're stars, and so all the women will throw themselves at them. And so a person will wear a shirt of a kafir like Messi or these other losers, not realizing these individuals are a bunch of scum. And you're idolizing a fornicator, you know, someone whose life is chasing after a ball. That just doesn't make any sense. But that's what it is, and that's what you get when you live out there. بَلْ كَثَّرْتُمْ سَوَادَهُمْ. Not only did you not distinguish yourself from them, rather you increased them in numbers. Sawad is black. And when you look at people, when you look at people from a distance, what do you see? You see black, unless they're all blonde. But that term is used to indicate the number of people. كَثَّرْتُمْ سَوَادَهُمْ, meaning you made them more in numbers. يعني when we have a million or whatever thousand Muslims living among the kuffar, and they're mixed with them so that you cannot even distinguish between them, then you've actually made them stronger and more in numbers, and you've strengthened that country. That country's economy, that country's this and that, while the Muslim countries are suffering from what we're suffering from. وَرُبَّمَا ظَهَرْتُمُوهُمْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And even perhaps you will ally with them against the believers, which happens all the time. In fact, you cannot become an American citizen, as far as I know. I don't know about Canada and these other countries, but you cannot become a citizen until you swear that you will protect this country with your life, and that you're willing to fight for the sake of America, and that you accept the law, which is the law of the Constitution. All of this is kufr and shirk. All of it. Because you're saying that you're accepting a law which Allah didn't reveal, and so you can't have a second wife, but you can have a girlfriend according to the law. And that you cannot do this. And if they tell you, well, the states needs to attack a Muslim country, you swore that you will be there to protect. And so there you have it. So now you swore that you're ready to fight against the believers if it is required of you to do so because of your patriotic allegiance to your home country. And so if someone's already gotten the citizenship, khalas, it's all done. But if you still think this is something that will bring you some benefit in this life, think again. Think again. Because even if it may, it will bring disasters with it alongside. And so you can live without it and you can do without it. So maybe you will wind up, you know, being with the disbelievers against the believers, which happens all the time. وفاتكم الخير الكثير والجهاد مع رسوله والكون مع المسلمين ومعاونتهم على أعدائهم. This is besides missing out on all the excellence, all the goodness, and striving with the Messenger of Allah and being among the Muslims and helping them against their enemies. قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض. The reply which these people who didn't do hijrah, they love living over there, they enjoy it. The answer which they will give to the malaika will be, we were oppressed in the land. أي ضعفاء مقهورين مظلومين. We were weak, we were subdued, we were oppressed. ليس لنا قدرة على الهجرة وهم غير صادقين في ذلك. And we have no means to migrate, the Sheikh said, but they're not truthful when they say that. They were able to migrate. لأن الله وبخهم وتوعدهم. Why do we know that they're lying? Because Allah reprimanded them already and He threatened them. Had they been truthful, then Allah wouldn't have done that. ولا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And Allah will never burden a soul beyond its scope. واستثنى المستضعفين حقيقة. And then Allah later exempted those who are truly weak. ولهذا قالت لهم الملائكة. This is why the angels مصابي. الله يرحم أمك بسبا. Either keep it on or put it down. لي. That's why the angels said to them, ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها. Was not the land of Allah spacious enough for you to immigrate therein? Meaning that reply was unsatisfactory. It wasn't accepted. So they said, you saying this, why didn't you migrate? There's plenty of places where Muslims live. And there are places where Islam is the governing law of the country to a very large extent. Because perfection is not doable. Can't get perfection. But hey, and many people are able to come, but they dislike it over there. وهذا استفهام تقرير. This is an interrogative affirmation. يعني it, even though it is being asked, it's really saying that you could. There's plenty of place for you to travel. But it's being asked in a question. It's being used in, as a question form. أي قد تقرر عند كل أحد أن أرض الله واسعة. Everyone knows that the land of Allah is spacious. فحيثما كان العبد في محل لا يتمكن فيه من إظهار دينه فإن له متسعا وفسحة من الأرض يتمكن فيها من عبادة الله. Anywhere a slave is where he's unable to display his religion, then he will find another plenty of space in the land where he will be able to display his religion. That's really the point. When you're living there and you can't call the adhan, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you have to do this and you have to do that, you can't really live Islam. Some people think it's just letting you build a masjid and allowing you to pray in the masjid is a sign that you're able to present your deen. No, no, no. You're supposed to be able to do everything from enjoining the good and forbidding the evil and calling the adhan and having jumu'ah and you know all the law which Allah revealed, you're supposed to be able to apply it. If you cannot apply it, then you're really not able to truly live Islam. You have to migrate. You have to migrate. And in these countries, you can't even call the adhan from the speakers. The adhan is called inside the masjid. And if the guy's voice is loud, the next day the neighbors will complain that this masjid next to us is bothering us. And the Quran is bothering us. And then the police will come the next day and maybe shut the masjid down. Because this is, you know, disturbance of peace and this and that and violations of other people's rights of this and rights of that. And all this nonsense which they came up with, which contradicts itself. On the one hand, they say you have the freedom of expression. And then when a Muslim says something, he's in trouble. But what happened to the freedom of expression? Or only for them. They can say whatever they want about our religion. But you say something and suddenly you become ABCD. So yani, it's all a bunch of nonsense which they've invented. نعم كما قال تعالى يا عبادي الذين آمنوا إن أرضي واسعة فإياي فاعبدون. Allah says in another ayah in the Quran, O my slaves who have believed, verily my land is spacious, so only me worship. قال الله عن هؤلاء الذين لا عذر لهم. Allah says in regards to those who have no valid excuse, فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا. Their abode will be the hellfire, and what an evil abode or an evil destination. وهذا كما تقدم فيه ذكر بيان السبب الموجب فقد يترتب عليه مقتضاه مع اجتماع شروطه وانتفاء موانعه وقد يمنع من ذلك مانع. Now this here is the same rule applies which we learned a couple of weeks ago in regards to the Khawarij and the ayah about whoever kills a believer deliberately then jazauhu jahannam ila akhiri. Who can rephrase that principle? Because now said Allah saying, anyone who doesn't do hijrah, meaning all these Muslims living in the UK, in the Canada, in America, who are able to migrate to the Muslim land, however they don't do so, according to this ayah, all of them, they will be going to the hellfire. And what an evil destination. But we learn a principle which may make a difference. Who can repeat that principle? We learned it just a couple of weeks ago about the one who kills a believer, he's going to go to Jahannam. He said, but hold on, there are other things we need to address.
If he possesses other qualities, that overrides the error that they have committed.
Good. So we said, for the thing to apply, that there must be some conditions which are present, and things which prevent it must be absent. When every condition which should be there is there, and every other reason which may prevent it is gone, then we say the ruling will apply. Then we say the ruling will apply. But sometimes there are preventive reasons which prevent it, like good deeds erasing bad deeds, like calamities, being a source of expiation, like falling under the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and so on and so forth. They may be misunderstanding, jahil, ignorance, whatever. So this only applies when all the conditions which necessitate this ruling are there, or this punishment, and all the things which may prevent it are gone. When all these are there and all these are gone, we say, yep, this is the rule. But now for the Muslims living over there, some of them may be ignorant of the ruling, so then it doesn't apply. And some of them may have a reason which prevents them from being able to come, so this it doesn't apply. And others may have, you know, this and that, or Allah Azza wa Jal may forgive them at the end, then so on and so forth. But if all these are gone, then the ruling applies. Nevertheless, our approach, it doesn't say, okay, good, so then the ayah doesn't apply, everybody, you can just have fun there. No. You still have the threat. You don't know whether you have met the conditions and the preventive reasons. So the problem exists. You still have to go. You still have to go. نعم. وقد يمنع من ذلك منع. وفي الآية دليل على أن الهجرة من أكبر الواجبات. الله أكبر. Because the scholars have differed on this issue, obviously. But according to Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, Sheikh al-Albani also, this ayah is an indication that hijrah is from among the most major obligations. It's not only a wajib, it's not only obligatory, it's from among the highest forms of obligation. وَتَرْكُهَا مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ بَلْ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. And abandoning migration is among the evil or the prohibitions. Rather, it is among the greatest of prohibitions, among the most major sins. وَفِي الْآيَةِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّ كُلَّ مَنْ تُوفِيَ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ وَاسْتَوْفَ مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ وَالْأَجَلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. And in the ayah there's an evidence that anyone who dies, then it is inevitable that he has already attained what has been decreed for him of sustenance and his time span and his deeds. وَذَلِكَ مَأْخُوذٌ مِنْ لَفْظِ التَّوَفِّي. All this is derived from the word تَوَفِّي. From يوفي الدين مثلا, which is to get something in exact completely, to pay back in exact completely. That's why the ulama say in the ayah when Allah said to Isa, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ, it doesn't mean that I will kill you, or I'm sorry, you will die. Because تَوَفِّي means, it has multiple meanings. Allah says, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنْفُسِ. Allah causes the souls to go to that form of death while sleeping. So he used the term tawaffi for the one sleeping. And we know the one sleeping, he doesn't die completely. Then Allah will take away the souls who were meant to return to him, and the others will be sent forth so they can live until a prescribed time. But the term used is tawaffa. That's why the term tawaffi does not only mean die. It's one of the meanings, but not necessarily depending on the context. فَإِنَّهُ يَدُلُّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. That term denotes that. لأنه لو بقي عليه شيء من ذلك لم يكن متوفيا. If there's something remaining, if there are remnants, we cannot say that he's really توفى. وفيه الإيمان بالملائكة ومدحهم. And in this ayah there's an evidence of belief in the angels and their Allah عز وجل praising them, their virtue. لأن الله ساق ذلك الخطاب لهم على وجه التقرير والاستحسان منهم وموافقته لمحله. Because Allah mentioned the context of the speech by approving what the angels were saying in this particular manner. يعني the angels are already interrogating, that's a better term than interviewing, they're interrogating those who died. You know, what condition were you in? Was in the land of Allah spacious enough? Allah's approving of the actions of the angels. Allah is in favor of that particular. Of course, they do this by Allah's command. Now, the next ayat, ya akhwan. يعني, some of you may be a living example of the next ayat. The Shaykh, I think, forgot to translate it. He forgot to do the... Time out, Jama'at al-Khair. Time out. Time out. The Shaykh... فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَعْفَ عَنْهُ وَكَانَ النَّصْرُ Ayah number 100. We'll be dealing with 98, inshallah, and 99. But ayah 100, which we will be doing next week, inshallah, could be a living example. You could be a living example. What's up? Now we finished ayah 97. Next week, inshallah, we'll do 98 and 99 because it there's some discussion to it. Then we will jump right into ayah 100. And ayah 100 is an amazing ayah, which some of you may be, like I said, a living example of this ayah. Because I have an appointment with someone at 10 o'clock, we got to end this class right now. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ